As our state battles our country's worst coronavirus outbreak, you have aligned to the secretary designee of the Department of Health Services, DHS, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A 530-bed overflow hospital is set to open at the state fairgrounds. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin Hospital Association reports 950 COVID patients, 240 in ICU. As of last week, 85% of ICU beds are in use, according to DHS. Why is the virus spreading so fast in our state, and what can be done at this juncture? What do you want to ask about the administration's approach to managing the spread? We're at 800-642-1234. Secretary Andrea Palm, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Good to be back.
Well, there is this new record of hospitalizations this week. What can you tell us about this surge?
Yeah, we've been breaking records here with hospitalizations and new daily cases for a few days here now. As you mentioned, we sometimes have lower numbers coming out of the weekend as community testing sites, many of them are closed on either Saturday or Sunday, but we have seen the kind of almost exponential growth that we talked about in the spring as something we were really desperately working not to have happen, and it speaks to the need for us to all work together to do the things that we know help stop the spread: wear a mask, stay home as much as possible, limit your interactions with people who don't live in your household, the good hygiene. You know, the things we've been talking about now for months are the things we really need to get back to basics and do those things together.
Can you predict, are we anywhere near a peak?
Well, I think like that is the important thing about these interventions and in taking actions together, right? Our goal as a community, as a state, as a population needs to be to break the transmission cycle. And we do that by reducing the amount of contact we have with people outside our immediate household. And it is those actions collectively that will allow our peak to be sooner and lower, right? Because when you're talking about an incubation period, when you're talking about this virus, it takes a little bit to show up and then a little bit more to be severe enough if you get severe illness to require hospitalization. And so we need to do these things now so that 3 and 4 weeks from now we can come out the other side of it. But it is that collective action. We control our peak and when it happens and how high it is. And so we all need to do these things together to stop the spread.
Secretary, as you look at the spread around the state, it is spreading around the state, but there are these pockets like in the northeastern and central parts of the state where you have these higher concentrations. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is a combination of a number of things, right? It's maybe less adherence to mask wearing policies. Maybe it is the way communities in that part of the state are more connected. They're closer together. The workforce is more mobile in terms of you may live in one place and work in another jurisdiction and vice versa. The way those things all come together has meant we're seeing a spread that is more intense. I also think, right, one wedding, one retirement party, one outbreak that goes without vigilance, and you start a spark.
One super spreader event can just snowball.
Yeah, for sure. And so again, I think we all believe that our friends and our family are being careful. But the best thing we can do is to minimize our contact with people outside our household in a really vigilant way. Because one case in a nursing home can really be traumatic for that location, and they're very vulnerable. And so we need to do everything we can.
We're talking with DHS Secretary Designee Andrea Palm, breaking down the latest efforts to stop the massive spread of COVID-19 in Wisconsin. Have you or a loved one been sick with COVID? What was your experience like? Do you need medical care? And if so, were you able to access it? Do you work in the healthcare profession? What are you seeing at your hospital or clinic? 800-642-1234 to join in. Let's bring in David joining us from Wazika. Hi, David.
Good morning. I have a question. I do have a brother who is currently hospitalized and being treated with COVID and seems to be getting good care. He's in a Madison hospital. My question for the secretary is, you know, the governor it keeps emphasizing that we need to follow the science, and I'm just curious what the administration's reaction is to the World Health Organization coming out yesterday and saying shutting down the economy is actually worse than the pandemic itself, and how does that affect your judgments going forward about, you know, curbing economic activity? And I'll hang up and listen to my response off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David, and speedy recovery for your brother. I'm glad to hear you feel like he is well taken care of. I would say I have not heard the World Health Organization's comments directly, but I would say that there is an important balance, right? What we know about the stressors from economic hardship, as you know, as well as the stressors from isolation and the anxiety, the behavioral health impacts of this pandemic, as well as the economic, are real. And there is an important balance to be struck there. I think one of the things that the governor has done as part of this response is to use the CARES Act dollars to try to relieve some of those and strike of that kind of balance about needing to do everything we can to do what we have to do to stop the spread of this virus on the scientific side, the staying home, the masking, the good hygiene, the reductions in capacity for public gatherings. Those are all things that the science tells us help stop the spread. But at the same time, you know, he has invested $125 million in business relief. He's invested money in renter's assistance, in food assistance, in other vehicles to try to mitigate against some of those economic issues. I think certainly Wisconsin needs more money to do those kinds of things, as does the country, considering that the federal dollars we have received expire at the end of the year. And we all need to work together to help the federal our federal partners, Congress, understand that without that money, not only can we not continue to test and trace and do the public health part of the response, but we also don't have money to do additional economic and business relief, food assistance, rental assistance, the other kinds of things that help relieve some of the pressure.
Do you mean that
pressure that our families are feeling?
Do you mean that state coffers couldn't cover those types of things?
That's correct. That's certainly correct. And our testing budget, you know, is well over $700 million here in the last 6 months. Because when you're testing, when you have the kind of capacity we have and the kind of infrastructure we have built, it's a lot of money to test and trace the kind of cases we're seeing right now.
Nearly 1.7 million people in Wisconsin tested to date. We have DHS Secretary Andrea Palm taking your questions at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Department of Health Services Secretary Designee Andrea Palm on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A 530-bed field hospital is set to open at the state fairgrounds to expand care for COVID patients, as hospitalizations are now at 950 patients. Some hospitals around the state are saying they're maxed out. They're dealing with staffing shortages. What do you want to ask about the emergency order number 3, about masks? How has COVID touched your life? Conversation is at 800-642-1234. And DHS Secretary Andrea Palm stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Anne now in Milwaukee. Hi, Anne.
Hello. Hope you're having a good morning.
You too. Go ahead.
My question is, when the president contracted COVID, he was treated immediately for his symptoms, and he recovered rather quickly, as is obvious. Why is the average public not being treated in that manner instead of waiting until they're so sick they need to be hospitalized?
Anne, thank you. Secretary Palm.
Yeah, Anne, I think it is the reason why folks need to be in close and quick touch with their healthcare providers once they've been tested and are isolating. And they receive the result of that test. I think particularly for those who are vulnerable to more severe illness, those who have underlying health conditions, those who have circumstances that might make the illness more impactful on their health, need to be in close coordination with their doctor to make sure that they are getting treatment as soon as it is necessary and warranted, and that they are taking the guidance from their healthcare provider to do that in the most effective way possible. Everybody's a little bit different, and so it is really important that we are connected and talking with our healthcare providers as we navigate this. Should we get that positive test result and suffer symptoms?
Can you take us to the 530-bed field hospital that is set to open? What are the details there?
Sure. So as you mentioned, 530 beds, about 200 of them have the capacity to do inline oxygen, right? That's one of the things we know about this illness, is that those who are hospitalized often need oxygen. And so many of our beds have that capacity. This is a lower care facility. It is designed to provide backup to the hospitals across the state so that they are able to take care of those who suffer from more severe COVID illness, but also all the other illnesses that come walking into a hospital on a regular basis, strokes, heart attacks, car accidents, et cetera. And so our job is to be ready to take some of their lower acuity patients so that they can continue to execute on the mission and serve those who are more severely ill. We are scheduled to open Wednesday morning and are in very close contact with our hospitals about who might need to transfer a patient on opening day. And we will continue to navigate through this together very closely with our hospital partners.
How will it be staffed?
So we have a number of staffing contracts. We certainly have a number of Wisconsin-based folks who are joining us. We hired a chief executive officer back in April, Deb Sandridge. She is a retired healthcare provider from Ascension Health, the Ascension Health System, and she has been leading the effort to unmothball, they like to say, the facility, right? We had it fully ready to go in the spring and did not need it and put it into sort of a resting phase. And so she is leading a team right now with a chief medical officer, a chief nursing officer, some pharmacists, a COO, you know, an operational person to stand it back up and bring staff to be ready to open on Wednesday morning. We will not open staffed for 500. We will open ready for about 50 patients and we'll scale from there as is necessary, using the contracts and staffing firms and other suppliers that we have to meet the need as this evolves over the coming weeks and months.
Let's bring in Rob now in Madison. Hi, Rob.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm on the road, but thank you for taking my call. I wanted to have the secretary please address the issue of convalescent therapy treatment with the antibody from the plasma of coronavirus survivors. If she could give us an update on that information. I don't know how useful it has been in providing recovery for people who wind up getting it, whether they're applying it currently or if it was just a clinical trial that failed. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Is this therapeutic treatment, convalescent plasma, still operating in our hospitals?
Yeah, Rob, this is a place that is a little outside my expertise. So what I would say is it is not a clinical trial that has failed. I think that's one thing I can certainly be clear about. And folks are continuing to use it and gather data and information about its effectiveness. And right, it has shown some promising results, but it is not an FDA approved treatment, and they will continue. That you know, doctors and scientists will continue to do work on it. That and other promising therapeutics to see what works best to treat patients with COVID-19.
We're talking with DHS Secretary Designee Andrea Palm. She's breaking down the latest efforts to stop the massive spread of COVID in Wisconsin. You can join in 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ben now, who is in Bad River. Hi, Ben.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know in our little community here, numbers are deemed, I guess by the public are pretty important. I heard earlier a mention that 1.7 million people had been tested in Wisconsin. My question is that 1.7 million tests or is that individuals? Because, like, I know I've been tested more than once. So am I counted multiple times in that 1.7 or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. We display that information on our website both as unique individuals and as total people tested. That 1.7 million figure, let me see, as of, I'm just looking at my notes here so I don't get it wrong, we have administered in the state of Wisconsin almost 2.5 million tests. So that is total tests. So if you've gotten more than one test, you are in that 2.5 more than once. But we have tested over 1.5 unique individuals. So we display both sets of information on our website so that you have it, so that you can look at it, so that you can understand in context better total tests versus unique individuals.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about gatherings, the emergency rule number 3 that is currently under scrutiny in the legislature. What are you asking about indoor gatherings?
Yeah, so, you know, I think as we've seen the surge, as we've seen the numbers in September really escalate, as hospitals have started to feel the strain, as we've seen record numbers of hospitalizations of you know, large numbers of deaths day over day, it became really important as we were asking people to take action voluntarily to do the right thing to help us reflatten the curve. It became clear that we needed to take some additional steps to be part of that solution. So this public gatherings restriction limits indoor public gatherings to 25% of the capacity of the location. So it does impact bars, restaurants, retail, any place that is open and available to the public. But again, right, it is about reducing exposure to people outside your household and so limiting public gatherings, limiting the number of people who can be in a public space. Will help us do the work we need to do to flatten the curve.
We're hearing that this emergency rule, Senator Steve Nass yesterday said, you're not following the law. You're breaking the law. Will you put your emergency rule through the rulemaking process?
Mm-hmm. So we wrote the order within the scope of the Supreme Court ruling in May. I think it's really important for us to work together with our colleagues in the legislature to help protect the people of the state, to help stop the spread, to do things like organize together to ask the federal governments of Congress to provide more money for this response, to do the kinds of things that model good hygiene, mask wearing, limiting our interactions with others, the social distancing. We can all do those things together, but we are certainly anxious to work with the legislature to do what we can to protect the people of this state.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Have a good one.
You too. Andrea Palm, Secretary Designee of the Department of Health Services. Coming up, from Uber to Airbnb, we take a look at how the pandemic has changed the gig economy. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.